I'm a sled dog. And the only way I'm going to be upset is if we're all pulling on the sled and then suddenly your leash has slack in it. And mm-hmm. I'm going to turn and look at you. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Pull harder. Yeah. Like I like to pull hard. And that's my only emotion. My only emotion is if you let up, now I'm upset. I'm like, don't let up. Like we have to go. Like, let's do that.
Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
Leather counts, black leather counts.
All right. We're here with Jeremy Strawn at Ralston Creek CrossFit in this awesome new, this is your office, right?
Yeah.
This is, every gym should have a office you would want to live in when your wife kicks you out of the house. That's.
You need it.
I had one back at Albany. I wasn't married at the time, but I was like, cool, I can live here.
Did you make this desk?
Yes.
He is.
I can tell.
How can you tell?
The finish on it. Feels like it's handmade.
You go
meaning you made it. Yeah.
We'll get some B-roll out there, but that lobby's all Jeremy. Yep. This room.
Anybody who's ever done any woodwork, Jay, would understand that this feels like
I made cornhole. You came over to my house that time. I was making the cornhole thing.
Yeah, I
had to throw them out. They were like all misaligned.
You forgot to put the hole in.
Yeah, I'll never forget when we first started talking and you're like, hey, next time you're working on your house, let me know. I'll come over and help just because I want to learn. I'm like, that sounds great, but
let's learn on the bathrooms in the gym. Not because he's always,
you know who I'm not calling to help me do handiwork? Jason Ackerman at all.
No, I was in a learning phase and I wound up like meeting the dude from Home Depot and he came over. I was like, teach me. I forget his name. And he taught me.
What do you mean the dude from Home Depot?
Literally, he worked at Home Depot.
Oh, just a guy.
Yeah.
Works at Home Depot. You said that like it was the guy who
owned
it. Mr. Home Depot.
No, dude that was really, I can tell immediately he was passionate about his job. And I was like, hey, you want to help me learn to build something? And he came over to my house and we built.
You watched him build something.
He was enjoying teaching, though.
Yeah,
I still have all the tools. I just never used them.
Yeah. Still got the price tags on them.
But good to have.
Just in case you need a jigsaw. So we've got Jeremy here. I've coached here years ago. We moved a little bit further away, and a company of ours got me a little busy. But this is a fantastic.
I'm not entirely sure what you do, but he's busy.
busy.
Fantastic affiliate. This is like one of my, if not favorite boxes out there, just because.
And we've been here before.
Because he's here.
Yeah.
We've been here before.
No, I was actually driving in this morning, and I was like, it felt really, I'd never take Indiana, right? I'd never come this way anymore. And I was like, oh, this was reminiscent of when I lived nearby and would drive here. I was like, oh, I had good memories of it. I remember, we probably talked about it, the first time I came in, I went to the gym across the street. Mm-hmm. They were closed. And I was like, there's got to be another cross around. And I came over here, and you came out, and I was like, oh, this is the place. So,
yeah, I think I was like painting the ceiling.
You were doing something. Were doing something. And I think I had Rocky in the car, and it was just like, it was, I got my North Naples CrossFit mug, and like these two boxes were like my home for a long time. But we were here.
We were here like a year ago. Maybe
we did some knowledge footage.
Maybe it was 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay. Yeah,
no concept of
it's
time.
It's been a while, but you know, going back to the building, I think we can talk about this. The curse of the affiliate owner that can build. Immediately, you get that.
Do you have that curse?
I just told you out in the lobby, right? How much time I'm spending on doing this work because I can.
Yeah,
and it frustrates me to hire someone else to do it because they either don't do it as well or it's going to cost me way too much
Hold on a second. We got to go back to that first statement. They don't do it as well. Do you mean
you
to come onto this podcast and suggest that somebody who does this for a living can't do it better than you?
Are you referring to building things?
Yes.
I don't think that they care as much as I do.
Of course not. It's not theirs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You're not asking them to care about it. You're asking them to build it.
That's the curse.
It is the curse.
Yeah.
Because I was selling.
We can cure you of that.
But I was selling Fern.
Grigri, by the way, shout out CrossFit Grigri. It's a voodoo charm. So you basically have a curse, and we need to cure you of that curse.
You do have, yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling Fern, like, the lobby is, this looks great. The lobby looks great. But the day I met you, it was like, I'm working on the lobby. Mm-hmm. And that was like 5 years ago.
Still working on it.
But it's
always something.
It is. And you, I think, because you're very good at that and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's often like, I remember one time,
Jeremy. Not as much anymore.
Well, to be honest. Since I've met you, I mean,
enjoying it or good at it? Meaning enjoy it. Okay.
I mean, since I met you right before you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've had your daughter. So, I mean, yeah. There's other life factors that have occurred in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
How long, this is for both of you, how long do you think it takes somebody to move out away from the, or move into the realm of done is better than perfect?
I was born that way.
That's fact. Yeah.
I came out. Yeah. I was like, I'm not done, Mom, but this is what you get.
Definitely not perfect, but it's done. I'm here. Yeah. Do you feel like you're moving there into that realm?
Yeah, I do, because just like this office, right? I can just look around and see 10 different things right now.
Sure.
Name one or two. What bugs you in here? Like
The paint around that, yeah. The drywall spots right there.
I would cover some of the trim. I would paint the conduit.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something.
No, and I hear you, because like having moved, we built our house in Superior, mm-hmm. and that's the kind of stuff I would be like, yo, Vince, what's up with that?
Right.
But in this perspective, I would be like, that's fine.
Well, and you have to get over it, right? Because you got to focus on the bigger things. And I think that's a big shift that I'm taking right now with working with you guys, is that's not my job anymore.
It's Pat's job.
It's someone else's job. It's not mine.
Yeah, I think I used to be kind of similar, but I look at it more through the lens of iterate, right? So it's never done. Can I get something out the door that I can iterate on faster? Mm-hmm. Instead of spending a year to get to 80%, I'd rather take 2 months to get to 50% and then iterate the additional 50% the following 2 months.
Well, and that's a good point, because here we, like, you built this office, and this is literally the most exposure this office will ever get.
Right.
And I'm not saying like it's really gadocious. I mean, like, you have one or two people walk in here for meetings.
Right.
You know, ideally thousands of people will watch this, and it's like, they're going to be like, this looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, like you said, it is for you. But so I want to go back to what we're saying. Like I vividly remember one time Jeremy's like, we're painting the rig. This was years ago. Do you remember this? I think it was that rig. You remember either painting it or it might've been the outdoor one.
Yeah, because he has two rigs here.
Yeah. He's got three. He's got the main one here. He's got the one over in the, but then there's one outside.
Oh yes.
Like, okay, we'll use it for like, last time I used it was probably Murph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was like, I remember those, like, we had started, and I'm like, why is Jeremy painting there? Like, there's so many other things we could be doing.
Right.
That was it. Like, not that it didn't need a new coat of paint or to be moved, whatever, but it was like, why? And I think a lot of affiliate owners fall into that trap of like, this is what I like doing, and it makes me feel productive.
I agree. I think that now, however, I find that I actually do enjoy the other stuff that I didn't enjoy as much.
You're getting way better at it. Like,
such as?
All the business back-end stuff.
Okay.
For instance, setting up the online store.
Yep.
Like, that before would have been my worst nightmare, sitting at a computer for that long doing that. And going back to the 50-50, mm-hmm. right? Get it 50% done, start selling some merchandise, and that's where it is right now. And I'll go back to it, and I'll go back through it and make it better.
Yeah.
And nothing, when I see him do that stuff, I'm like, I love it, because I'm like, you don't want to do that.
I'd rather be coaching.
Or building, or building.
Or something, right?
So it's fun to see when you do that stuff, because it's like,
well, when I made that, that's just one example. Well, but I mean, the point is like, anytime I make anything, that is a strong consideration of mine. When I make stuff for affiliate owners, I'm like, who's quitting right now based on where they're at and going through this? And I'm like, oh shit, the vast majority.
Tell everybody, because mm-hmm. that's something pretty awesome that he built. We announced it at Nashville Mastermind.
Yeah, so we went through and we created essentially an apparel plan process where you can remove all the
middle. He says we, but it was you.
It was. It was all of them. Well, Jay, Jay thanked me for it. We went through and we removed all the middle people from this process, right? Designers, you know, your apparel designers, and we gave everything back to the affiliate owner, and it was completely done for you. Be like, hey, here's how you build your store, how-to videos, here's your rollout plan, your promotion, everything, all the way into how to budget for it and the financial strategy with getting it rolling. And we launched that in January. It's currently April. And I know multiple boxes that have done more, anywhere between $3,000 to $10,000 in apparel.
Devin got $4,500 in week one.
Right. So and it's awesome because supplements are a thing, but like it's sometimes you feel a little gross selling supplements, depending on who you are and how you feel about that. Mm-hmm. But this is just selling merch, and has it been
successful for you?
Yeah,
it crushes.
And honestly, we just got the new website launched, right? And so with that Active Blueprint, which we'd love it. So we got that on there. It's been on for about 2 weeks, and we haven't really pushed it yet. So now as we're getting that all done, we're going to start pushing that more. But already people are going in just buying stuff up. And for me, it's so easy to go in and here's a new design. And five different
because you colors. Use the same, which is a great logo, but almost every time I should have worn, like, I have like 10 every time you just gave me the open shirt, like, you use the same logo, so it's cool to see that
it's
you
branded.
Can, you can mix it up too.
Oh, and you know, for all the women want different shirts, and so you can do crop and you can do this hoodie,
you can do it all,
everything else,
and it's super fast.
And I would have never done all there that was actually, if it had it not been. That step by step for me, because for me it was okay. I'm gonna sit down for 2 hours today
and knock it out.
And this is all I'm doing for two hours.
Good. You are good at that.
However, but here's the deal: had I not made it so that you could do that, so for instance,
no, I would have gotten frustrated. I would have stopped.
Well, let me tell you how frustrated you would be because that took me. I don't know how many iterations it was before I got to the version that I handed all of you, but that whole thing from figuring out like. What's all the snake oil in that industry? Like, how do you set up stores and what are the middle people and like, what are appropriate margins? Yep. Like, how do you work around all of that? And I get more and more frustrated as I find out more and more about that whole thing to come to find out, be like, you don't need anybody in that process. You can get shirts for $8 and sell them for whatever margin you want and roll out designs at whatever frequency you want. And it will be very, very easy.
And it's so hands-off for me.
That's
now
the point.
Just, they can go on, they can order it straight to their house, and then they just show up in class with their new shirt, and I'm like, oh, that's great.
I just see the transactions come through an email and be like, hey, $180 purchase in your Shopify store. Great.
Well, and what's funny is, so before we would have had to spend all the money, gotten the apparel, put it in, or did a pre-order, which so much time behind that
I remember
for us, right?
And all then, the times I've walked in here and there's like these old shirts just hanging there.
Well, and there's no, for us, there was... Or for me, there's no reason to do it. I'm not making any money.
That was the whole hangout. So it was a double whammy, right? Like you're putting in an immense amount of work and getting no return on it.
None.
And it's like now you put in very little work and you get a ton of return out of it. It's just like you just flip the whole script on the entire process. But more importantly, you're putting this brand on everybody instead of everybody else's stuff. And so I'm like, sell your own shit. Like that's what we're here for. So
How many members are you up to these days?
I think we're like right around 150. We fluctuate back and forth.
What's cool is like you can't tell by this office, but like we're like pretty suburban out here.
Yeah.
Like I know it's a suburb of Denver, but we're
30
to 45 minutes away.
I would call this rural.
Right. But
We got cows right there.
They're his. But he tips them at night. But it's always interesting when people are like, you don't get it. I live in this area. I'm like, I always think of Jeremy. I'm like, because you, and to be fair, like you've had that number for quite some time. Like, it's kind of like the median. Like, we come back to it, but I'm like, you got 150 members in Arvada, Colorado. Like,
well, and that, and we have,
and it's not like there's
multiple other crops that's around us, too.
It's not like there's not, I mean, there's probably five within at least a 10 mile radius, if not tighter than that. I mean, like I said, literally, when I was looking for a crosser box, it was across the street. I think that one might have closed.
No, they're open.
They're still open? Yep. But it was like literally like if we crossed that street, it was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to show he was open.
Yeah.
And that was all. That was all. I mean,
one's here.
Super personal. Like
the curse of the good boxes, you like to say. The okay box, I guess, is like kind of like, you're like, hey, I'm here, I'm doing the thing, but there's so many things I could do better in order to enhance the experience of my members. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, but I mean, point being, like, I'm just saying, any excuses we have for not being at 100 members, 150 members, are just excuses, because here we are in Arvada, Colorado. And by the way, what's your rate?
Well, unlimited is 210.
Point is, like, he's doing the right things and crushing in this very obscure
area. I'll tell you a big piece with everyone around. You know, we got Orange Theory opening up across the street.
Yeah, literally. I drove past.
I think that'll be good for your business, to be honest with you.
I do, too.
It's like a minor leagues for CrossFit.
Yep. But I think the big thing, and, you know, when we started with Affiliate U, the first section of that was understanding your identity. And at the beginning, I didn't really have one, right? Because I bought this from other owners and not really sure of who I was. I knew who I was as a coach, but not necessarily like how I wanted to run an affiliate. Going through that and understanding my identity and how it is different from all those other gyms, right? So they're great gyms too, but we are completely different on how we see the world and serve our members. And that was a big piece for me to learn. And then also come into for myself of like, what type of person am I? What do I value?
Yeah.
And then let that become what this is.
When I reckon, like I said, like what I was getting at also is like, you happen to be open, but you weren't. Being open is one thing. Being welcoming is a very different thing. And as soon as I came here, I was like, I felt welcomed. And then I remember it's probably in that first conversation you were telling me all the things you're working on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I like this. I like
this. What was your takeaway from the mastermind? I don't remember.
He's been to both. So
yeah.
Nashville.
The most recent one, I guess, was a more specific question.
And Vegas is coming.
Yep.
Yep.
You going to Vegas?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Yeah. It's Vegas.
I'm going to watch out for you too.
I'm not even a Vegas guy, but come on, you guys are all going
to
be in Vegas.
I was telling Nate and Cody yesterday, I've never been to Vegas as a non-derelict human being. So
and that won't change when you're there this June. Yeah.
Find out.
You're still a derelict.
I'm bringing my wife, so I'll be.
Oh, here. Jess is coming?
Smart.
Oh, so it's going to be worse. I have a feeling when Jess is with you.
No.
Nate. Yeah. We'll see.
I feel like that's smart.
Whatever Fern has planned for Saturday, I'll handle.
You'll opt out. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I think with the mastermind, like I said, the biggest thing that really I've been working on over this past year is being okay with how I see it and with it being me. Not so much of, because I've always had this issue and you know this. Right, I see a shiny object over here, mm-hmm. and I'm like, man, they're doing it like this. I should do that.
Oh, got it.
Right, and it's instead, it's hey, I got my own way of doing it, and that's really good. So instead, let's work on that.
Lean into your values.
100%.
What was your question? Do you remember?
On my question,
for your hot seat,
had to do with our lead process.
Okay,
and that's when I decided to hire Active Blueprint. Mm. And start that whole process. Okay.
So, and for those listening, at our masterminds, we have a little, everyone gets 20
minutes. Everybody gets 20 minutes in the hot seat. They present a question, and then the group essentially just pummels them to death in a very loving manner.
With questions, with not questions. Answers.
Yeah, with questions. And then, questions and then help to group answers. Problem solve whatever that person's problem is. And it's super powerful when done correctly. It can be kind of a mess if you don't do it correctly.
And often,
I've seen it both ways.
Yeah.
And often the question you present is not at the root of it.
Most of the time, the question that is presented at the start is not where we end up.
Those that have been there to multiple kind of understand that and come in with a deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the root of my question really had to do with how do I, you know, emphasize my personality with all of this, not destroy my marriage and family life and be able to enjoy being an affiliate owner.
Which is different than I was working on my sales process.
What do I do with leads?
Yeah. Leads. You're like, oh, you want to be happy? Oh, okay. Let's start with it.
Yeah. But it was more about the process and being able to have the time management, but still being authentic, which is really tough to do when you start, you know, you're back in the office.
Right.
And you're not always out on the floor. And so finding that balance and then also making sure that I'm spending time with my girls, you know, and not neglecting them. You know, it's a long process to learn, but I definitely feel more equipped now than I ever have before.
So yeah, that was going to be my question. So if we go back, I don't know, 18 months, what do you feel that you're better at or happier with now than you were 18 months
ago? When I left. So I don't know if that's
the coaching.
Strong correlation. So strong correlation.
It is that, so there's this weird process that happened or time for me where I didn't want to be in here at all.
I don't think it's weird at all.
I was kind of here, I think, for a little bit.
I felt it just a little bit.
He's doing that to not look so giant next to me. I appreciate that.
I tried to help you out. I started to feel like...
Because I felt it as a coach.
I don't know how to explain it, but I just did not want to be here.
I think a lot of affiliate owners go through that. You're like, I'm burned out.
It's called burnout.
Yeah. It just felt off, right? And part of that was maybe because... I didn't feel like it was mine or that, it's imposter syndrome, right? I had that going on. And
those are two big things. And I don't think we should just glaze right over them. So that first one is not mine. How long ago did you purchase the box?
2019. I bought out one partner and I bought out the other partner.
Okay. So then.
And he had a very big presence.
I've been here since 2015.
But the previous owner.
Yes.
Still does. Like, and great person, right? I don't know him that well, but.
Yeah. Good guy.
But like. Big presence in the area, so I can understand why you're like, this doesn't feel like me.
That's very common though in acquisition. Very common. Almost everybody that we've worked with work through that has gone through that whole phase. And it typically was there something that you did. They're like, hey, I have to go through this process to make this mine. Sometimes it's a project where you're like, okay, now it's mine. Something like that. Was there anything that like that?
I think it was, one, it was restructuring our team. Like getting a handle on that and hiring people that had the same vision and letting go of people that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a big piece too of, for myself trying to understand what my purpose and role was so that I could kind of squash that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So I went through the last few years and did a lot of work. When it comes to like on the self along with the business.
What was the root of the imposter syndrome?
I felt like who, how do I say this? Like who would want to believe me?
I think a lot.
Like maybe I'm not, I'm not the best. I look at these other coaches and affiliate owners, I watch like Allison's podcast that you guys just had out. And I'm like, man, like they're really killing it. Right. And then she's got like her mindset around everything is like spot on winner mindset for sure. And then I have to ask myself, I'm like, is that who I am or is that who people see? That's who I want to be. But is that who people see?
I'm giving you an answer. Yeah. I mean, as you're saying this, I'm like, I would witness for all of this, but I look at you, I'm like, how does someone like Jeremy, why is he dealing with this imposter syndrome? Like, not validating your feelings, but
of course.
One, you walk in and you're like,
brick shit house.
Those were actually the words I was going to use, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, I've seen you with your shirt off.
It's annoying.
Like, he's jacked, like, with minimal effort, which is disgusting, right? Like, I'm like,
I don't know about
tracking
that.
My macros to a T, and I'm like, I don't look fat. Like this guy. So
eat a lot of protein.
He has a mustache to try to repel women, right? That's the only reason you could have that. No, I mean, you have an amazing wife, Holly. You've got an amazing, healthy, beautiful baby, Penelope, right? Like, and it's like, and I've been to your classes. Now, could we tighten up the timeline a little bit? Maybe.
I'm working on that. But got my L4 coming up, so.
But I mean, your classes from day one, you and the staff.
Yeah.
Like that was.
We took a class when we were here last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we talked about it. I was like, it was a good class.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one thing to be welcoming when you walk in. Like, I then took classes and I was like, man, I'm getting coached. I was like, one, I don't like it. But two, I'm like, it was trickle down because it wasn't always you. It was, whether it was Amy or Val or Heather at the time. It was like, that came from you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I still think that there's a piece of it where, people don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but in your mind, you think that they do. And if you're ever putting on a facade, right? Like my thing was drinking, right? I go out and get sloshed and
we talked
come in the next day and I would, you know, coach everyone and be a little bit hungover and stuff. And there are certain people who, you know, that's their lifestyle too. And I think that maybe they didn't affect them as much. But for me, I'm like, how are people taking advice from me when I'm having my own issues? Right. And I think getting over that and understanding that those things aren't who you are. It's part of like your journey, what's going on. And then working myself out of all that stuff. Right. And that's been like the last few years have been instrumental on me becoming who I am now.
I remember we went to Chipotle 3-4. We need to do that more often, mm-hmm. not necessarily Chipotle, but get together and, you know, tell me you were going back to Ohio and it was maybe the first time you were going to see family
and not drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Yeah. It's weird. Because it's such a big part of our lifestyle back there. It's like you're a little bit, like, people take offense to it almost. It feels like.
No, I've not.
I can see that.
I've heard that, right? Yeah. And you're not the only one that has said that.
They're like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. You're too good?
Actually, nothing.
Yeah.
I think that the idea that I had of what would happen was way worse than what it was.
Yeah, we talk about it.
Because your family loves you no matter what, right? And that was a big piece of me going back and understanding and, you know, not feeling like they were going to feel awkward judge that I wasn't you. Doing that or judge me around it. But that I could still connect with them.
I think a lot of affiliate owners, coaches, human beings can relate to the fact that, I think what we're saying is I'm working on myself.
Right.
And I'm going back to the people who knew me from back here.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, you asked about Nashville, your presentation, and then having your dad come up, that hit something for me for sure.
It had many people.
I mean,
there was a lot of crying in that room.
Yeah, there's a lot of crying.
When you think about, you know, the ancestral connections that we have and how maybe we're trying to become a little different than them, but not disregard what they went through and what they gave us. And right. I think that for me and thinking about my parents, I mean, that was, you know, it's powerful to think about. And to see you up there taking those lessons, putting your twist on it, and that, you know, and then seeing how he felt about that too.
It was very cathartic. That was selfishly it was very much for me. It was just something that had been weighing on me for a long time. And it was also for him.
Yeah.
It was for everybody. Like, and when I went through that whole process of putting that together and presenting that and feeling wildly uncomfortable about stepping up in front of everybody and walking through that whole thing. Cause I mean, I exposed that whole, you know, imposter syndrome to you guys. Stood up there. It's like, yeah, this is how I think about myself, you know? And then,
although Jeremy's doing it to a wider audience.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah,
you know, but the point was, I agree with your, like, hey, taking those things, you know, taking the good and the bad and then using them as tools moving forward, mm-hmm. not just from our relationships, but then looking at, okay, well, you can do the same thing in here, which is like, hey, I used to beat myself up. I remember years ago, Marcus had a conversation with me. He was like, I had made a series, this is 2017 probably, I had made a series of pretty idiotic business moves.
Partnered with me. Is that
was that? One of them. That was the culmination of it and had to come down off of that. But I had made some pretty idiotic business moves, and I was beating myself up about it over and over for like a pretty extended period of time.
I remember, right? That was
and
before,
Marcus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Marcus kind of, I wouldn't say he scolded me, but he probably kind of did.
He's good at that.
He is. He said, let it go, dude. Like, you fucked it up. Don't worry about it. It's not who you are as a person. It's just part of the process, you know? Yeah. And yeah, me being okay with letting that go, because I was actively punishing myself. Sure. Like I was not even unaware. I was just like, this is your penance. You deserve
it. I'm going to partner with Ackerman.
Yeah. Right. But it was something. And then to come to the realization, I'm like, that's very unhealthy. Like, you're never going to be able to progress if you're just carrying around this baggage and, right, and telling yourself that, like, you need to be perpetually punished for these mistakes for the duration of your
way deeper than I expected to go on a Friday morning in Arvada. But I want to give you, I do, before, like, I'm so impressed with Jeremy, like, because not just how you've developed, like hearing it, it's like, oh, like I you're making me realize like I've witnessed
and you've been
and
here for
the and process. I was like, I feel like privileged to be like a part of it. Like, just so you know, like it's been really epic. Cause you know, you could, again, I walk in, I'm like, this guy's got it all. Like, he's good. Like, and to hear like someone like, and even I appreciate you standing wide with your feet wide. Cause like something you like said to me, I remember this one time, you're like, I come off as intimidating. And to me, you never did. And I was like, oh, I need to like think about that. Like someone who's like jacked and 6'3" and all this, like it's like, oh,
6'4".
I just guessed.
I was gonna
anything above 5'7" is the same to me. But I was like, oh, like it made me think about, like, I appreciated that about you, like that you would be aware of that.
Well, what I've seen with you too. I mean, so I hadn't seen Jay and what we had lunch probably 6 months prior.
It was like Mastermind, it was right? Literally
you
right
had just
before
started
I
counting
because I was. That's why I said can we go to Chipotle because I was like, I got to track.
He's walking through, he's tracking everything, right? And I'm like, what's going on?
That dude? Is not 18 grams of veggies right there.
Because that's not who I remember. Who I remember is like lift in, eat whatever.
Yeah,
trying to put it on. Yeah. Right? So you started tracking, and I saw you at the Mastermind. I'm like, wow. Like, that's impressive. You completely changed your lifestyle. And I know how it is with the young kids. I knew what you were, you know, having with the young kids and that whole process of going through that. And then for you to take that, I mean, that when I got done with the Mastermind, you know, I had been on my journey with that too. But it was really nice to see that someone close to me had also, without us even talking about it, had started down that path. And then to see where you came out, right? Like how different your demeanor is different, right? Like you present yourself differently.
He sucks less.
Say something nice about me too now. This is your opportunity. Nope. But appreciate
the two of you though together, it's, you know, I've been watching, I knew Jay before you guys started Affiliate U. You know, I jumped on what about a year after you guys had started?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
something
roughly.
Like that.
Early on.
And I, you know, I remember the beginning stages of that. And that's like for any other business owner of trying to figure it out. And then to see how far you guys have come, not only does it give me more, more hope for myself and where I can go with this, but like my respect for you guys, not that I didn't have it before. But my respect for you guys has grown exponentially, even just since the last Mastermind, to be frank.
I appreciate that. I think that's something that we take we take that personally, meaning it's important to us that when we work with people, that we set the example, that like we really try to push the envelope and hold ourselves to a certain level of accountability and doing work and you know, I will say something as well, Jay. I give Jay a lot of shit but about being lazy, but he works as hard as pretty much anybody that I know. And most of the time. but that's important to us. And we've talked about that a lot of times. We're like, hey, one of my greatest fears is that somebody comes into the ecosystem.
You gave it to, was that the team or was that me and Marcus?
What's
the
up?
Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I haven't seen that. Go ahead, say it.
They were like, wait, I forget how this came up, but
just talking about like the three of us. I think.
Yeah, and how we work together. And I was just like, hey, if you ever want to understand me as a person and what it's like to work with me, I'll just give you an analogy. It's like, I'm a sled dog. And the only way I'm going to be upset is if we're all pulling on the sled and then suddenly your leash has slack in it. And I'm going to turn and look at you. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Pull harder. Yeah. Like I like to pull hard and that's my only emotion. My only emotion is if you let up, now I'm upset. I'm like, don't let up. Like we have to go, like, let's do that.
It's funny. Cause I'm like, he's never had to say anything, but I've seen the eye come on me. That's my moment where I'm like, all right, I gotta go.
Attention.
Like,
I need
he's
to get
never
attention
had to say anything, but he's like, I know you're about to break a little bit. You're coming.
I think what's analogy. Great about that is you guys, you don't fill your time. And when you're coaching us on business and everything else that you coach us on, which is way more than just the affiliate stuff, you don't fill it with like blowing smoke up our ass, right? It's more that you just lead and then you set the tone and then we follow, or you know, in my mind now, I'm like, well, I want to get a step ahead, right? Of
that's
that.
A big shift, by the way.
Which it never before is like, oh, they're telling me to do this, so I just want to do this. And when I left the last mastermind, I went home, told Holly, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever they tell me to do. I'm not even going to try to do all the other stuff. I'm just going to do what they tell me to do. And now I'm thinking, okay, I want to do all of this and I want to go further.
And I've seen it. Like, I'm always like, oh, Jeremy's on this call. Like, I notice when you're like, even when you're just, you're probably like doing other things.
Oh, no, I'm always, when I'm on
but, the call, but I mean, like, I see your name. Sometimes I don't see the video. I'm like,
well, that's
I reckon. And I think for a lot of our clients, I see that. But like, you especially, I'm like, oh, I see you. Like, it's cool.
That's a, but I would contend that that is a very common story arc for affiliate owners we work with. Because at first, it's just like, I'm either perpetually drowning or I'm in denial. Like, those are probably the two main avatars that come in.
Sometimes they're both.
And once they get past that, then it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm not drowning anymore. I've come to grips with things that I need to fix. And then that when you move over to the other side of that spectrum, you're like, okay, I'm starting to have this identity shift. I'm starting to get clarity on what it is that I want to do. Now let's get ahead. And now let's start to really push the needle and create this life in this vision that I wanted.
Yep.
But you kind of have to go through the muck.
You have to.
In order to get there. And I think this conversation has highlighted is that everybody goes through that. Everybody has some degree of imposter syndrome. And if you think that you're looking across the street and that person over there doesn't have it, you're wrong.
Right.
They've got it. They're just like the rest of us and not telling everybody about it.
I think, I mean, even for us, like sometimes people ask me a question, I'm like, why are you asking me that? And I'm like, I got to snap out of it. Right. Like you have to like you said, because everybody goes through it.
You all have it. And you just have to be aware of it. And you're like, oh, I'm doing that thing again where I'm not being fair to myself, or I'm letting a story enter to this situation that is made up.
Yeah.
This is my feeling that I just conjured up this feeling about this thing and has nothing to do with anything. It's just an emotion that pops in there. It's just like, oh, well, it's really not how it's going to work. And you're like, you just got to tell that thing to shut the fuck up.
Well, I think it's two things. It's like you said, like Marcus has helped. It's like, I'm beating myself up like about this. I'm like, you were 13 years old, right? Like, right. Like you quit in one match, like whatever it was. Like, it's like, you're not a quitter, right? Like, and then I think, you know, going back to what you said for me, what helped is like, oh, be that person. Like to me, yeah, you saw me like day, literally like week one, but it was like, oh, now I'm the person that leads by example, that wakes up early, that, you know, make sure they're done by 7 p.m. every night for bath, like all those little things. So when someone does ask you a question, like, yeah, I am that person.
Yeah.
I'd be curious your thoughts on this, Jeremy. And this is when we kind of switched how we do things inside the group, or the small group component was really important to us. And it was important to us because of this exact topic that we're discussing, is that it's, I don't want to say it's mandatory for growth, but like, it's really important for people to push through the muck and have growth, to be in a group where other people are going through the same thing and they get to see it. Cause you think about the number of calls and the disparity in the box owners in those calls. And, you know, you guys probably don't get to see it as much as we do, but if you're showing up regularly, you get to see it. You know, person A starts here and then 6 months later, they're not the same person anymore.
No.
And then you're on the call with them. You're like, oh, that's not how they would have reacted to that 6 months ago. Like, something happened here and this is a different person.
It's the same as, you know, when you have an athlete start, right, with you, and 6 months down the road, they're making all these life changes and they're coming up to you. There's more confidence and that certainly happens. I'll tell the one thing that made the biggest shift for me was to understand that if this is the life that I want, then I better start living that, because I was living two lives.
That's exactly
right. So I'm the affiliate owner, the CrossFit coach, been doing it for a long time. I'm pretty good at coaching. Not pretty good. I'm good at coaching.
Look at this guy.
Took out that soft talk.
But then I go out and I live this other lifestyle. When I made the decision, and this is largely based around my daughter too, who do I want my daughter to see me as?
Yeah.
And when I made that decision, all this other stuff was just, okay, now I'm just going through the process. It wasn't this internal battle of the two wolves, right? Which one are you going to feed? It was, I know which one I am. Now I'm just going to go through that process. And so when I made that decision, everything became a lot easier. It's going to take time to get all the stuff done that I want to do.
But you're okay with the process now.
Yeah. Whereas before, I would be constantly... Listen, I can't tell you guys how many times I'd be on calls or, you know, Jay would be hassling me about getting something done or whatever it might be. And I'd be like, what do they know? You know?
Yeah.
And for the record, we know when people are saying that.
Yeah. And also...
Without saying it, we're like, he's not going to do it.
But you know what was it? Athlete's doing it to you here.
Yeah, for sure. Oh. And it wasn't you guys.
It was you.
Right? It had nothing to do with you.
It's not me, it's you.
Had everything to do with me and
but that's like
who I saw myself. And that was fear, right? It's almost fear of succeeding that was holding me back.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that didn't want to be the best version of myself because I didn't feel like I was...
worthy.
Worthy of it.
You just, I mean, summarize leveling up as a human being.
What's the quote? Seconds. It's like, hey, our greatest fear is not that we would fail, but that we would be, you know, powerful beyond our greatest, you know, imagination. I butchered that quote, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And that's a real thing. You're like, at some point you have to wrestle with that idea of like, I'm not actually afraid of failure. I'm afraid of what success would mean for me.
Well,
that sounds insane, but it's real.
When I came home after the last mastermind, I sat down, I wrote down, right? What would it feel like to have 250 members here? What would that feel like? What would it feel like to own my own building? What would it feel like to have a GM and I'm just doing the fun stuff, right? Stuff I want to be doing. What would that actually feel like? And I've never thought about that stuff because in my mind, it just never was possible, I guess. There's always that block there. And once I started working through that, then all the other parts of the process and being able to see how this should go and being able to respect my version of it became really easy. And now I'm just living the life, which is a really great life.
Good for you, man.
I felt like a little Matthew McConaughey. All right.
Well, I think one of the most powerful components of the hot seat specifically when we're talking about the mastermind is a lot of times, and for the record, he and I, we've been on both sides of that interaction. Meaning,
yeah,
like
we went to our own hot seat.
We do that too.
Before,
and
nice.
And a lot of times we find ourselves here, and this is all that we see. We can only see these possibilities between the blinders on the left and the right side. And then you need somebody to come in and just kind of pull those down, and you just go, and you go, oh shit. There's a lot of other opportunities
here. That was
like me and you.
Yeah. You know?
Do this. Next to Jeremy.
Yeah. So, but it's a really important process. And it's, I would also contend it's very hard to do by yourself. Like you have to have somebody who comes in and
you were trying to do this
by myself
in a bubble. Yeah.
And people have to challenge your thoughts. You have to wrestle with those things. You have to be like, hey, I don't think that's a great idea.
And you have to see that it's doable, right? You can't just look at, let's use like NC Fit or one of these bigger places as an example, because in Arvada, that's not happening, right? I'm not in a big metropolitan area or a lot of people that would necessarily want to be doing CrossFit. They all need to be doing it, but not necessarily want to do it. But then when you start seeing these other affiliates and you're talking with them, getting on calls and understanding that they're, you know, my hometown of 10,000 people, Salina, Ohio, CrossFit Crave, shout out, you know, and they're still killing it in like this farm town.
Yeah.
No one does this kind of
they're
stuff.
They're lifting cows, for the record.
Right.
Right. Is that what they're lived using? They don't have barbells.
And then you start thinking, well, what's your excuse? Right. And understanding that and being able to see how far this can go, which we haven't seen it yet. Right. Mm-hmm. I still think, you know, CrossFit for a long time, I don't want to say it's not a career. It was a hobby for a lot of affiliate owners. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to see, no, this is the next level. What you guys are bringing is our ability to get to that next level, which before, if you know, you're on your own, man, it was a lot harder.
I mean, I firmly believe there's enough sick people and there's enough people in general that every affiliate owner has enough potential clients out there to have 400 members.
Yeah.
Every single one. I don't care where you're at.
Yep.
Do the math.
Do the math. That's a real thing.
This was awesome. Were you looking in the camera and say, just keep living?
Just keep living.
What's one or two of your big goals for 2024?
Personal goals. I'm finishing some certifications. We're working with Enlifted.
Cool.
Pretty excited about that. And then
you're doing level one right now.
I'm doing level one right now. Signed up for level two, and then I'll continue on with them. It's been really good. L4 in July.
You signed up, right?
Yeah.
Is that Roots?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep. L4 in July. And then, here, you know, I've decided to not worry so much about the numbers as much right now and focus on the client experience.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear you say that.
So instead of thinking I do want 250 members, that would be our sweet spot. But my goal, beyond that is I want my members to know and feel what I want this to be.
And I don't think you get to 250 unless you do that.
No,
you can't focus on the outcome. You have to focus on the process.
Yeah. And so that has been a big piece. And honestly, to simplify. Like that to me is if I simplify the process for them, the experience, not making it too much, they're going to enjoy it more. It's more personalized. I'm not trying to do all the stuff anymore. Just everything I am doing, I'm trying to do as well as I can.
Just do that, but better.
Can I have one more goal?
Yeah.
Can we finish that lobby out there?
Yeah, dude, next week. These floors are going in there, too.
Same floors?
Yeah.
No, no, he's taking these floors and moving them over there.
That's a Jeremy move. Like, I gotta move it. No. So when can I come back and be like, oh, this is done?
Give me 2 weeks. I'll have the floors down.
Tuesday.
Oh. Who's getting fired?
Let's call it 420. We'll celebrate. Ooh, we'll celebrate together.
All right. And even if it's not done, it'll still look good.
Oh, man, this was so good. I'm so glad we're here in Denver.
This is my new thing as of yesterday.
Okay.
Because I started it yesterday.
I aware of this?
One or two pieces of advice that you would give any affiliate owner based on your experience, right? Like, so you've kind of been through the ringer a little bit. Yep. You've learned a couple things here and there. Share some of that with the audience.
Yeah. Well, tough truth. If you're not willing to live the lifestyle, then you should find something else to do. And that was probably the hardest thing for me to come to grips with is like, you want to be the exemplar, then you need to be it. You can't just show up during work hours and be that person. It's gotta be all the time. But that's going to make your life better either way. Right. So it's worth doing. And then find a mentor. I think you guys are by far the best when it comes to this. You need a mentor.
Anybody.
If that's going to be changing your lifestyle in any way, you have to find someone.
In all facets of life.
Exactly. Yeah, you need to. And there should be no hesitation on it because of the imposter syndrome of being able to sit down and truly reflect on who you are right now, because not who you are forever, who you are in this moment, who you want to be, and then find the person that's going to help you lead you over that bridge. And once you do that, everything else becomes easy. You just follow the process. And if you can do those things, you'll be highly successful, no matter if you're an affiliate owner or anything else. Maybe you decide you want to go open up a nursery or something instead. Be the best damn nurse. You know, get a mentor and be the best that you can at that too. So whatever it is, I think that was the biggest thing for me. I had to make a decision. Do I want to keep doing this and be this person? Or do I need to lead my life in a different direction? And if so, then I need to give up these other things. And I wasn't willing to give this up. This is what I want to be. This is who I want to be. And so went all in.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call.
If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.